We just had that discussion. All right. Luke, finally, let's go back to Luke. 9, verse 41. The Spirit, you remember, had taken this man's son and thrashed him around. And then they said that they talked to us, the disciples, and they couldn't do anything. And so Jesus rebukes them in verse 41. And Jesus answering and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. We're studying the word perverse, diastrophal. Let's go to Acts 20. Well, let's see. I think we talked about it. Let's look at that one. Luke 23 first.
Where did you just go?
Luke 23. He didn't just say it to the disciples, he said it to the whole generation. All right, and the word perverse means to distort, to twist, and pervert. And so in 23, it's, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him, Jesus, to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Now the same word that Jesus used for the generation used for Jesus. And I promise you, if you preach the true gospel, the whole generation will accuse you of perverseness, because they will accuse you of destroying all the sacred cows that they believe are the law. So it's not surprising if they called Jesus perverse and accused him of perverting the nation. Can bet they will call you perverse and accuse you of perverting the nation. Remember, again, it's so important to remember how all of the disciples died alone. And all they would have had to have said was what the deal the Jews made with the emperor. We're going to pray for your nation, so we're not a threat. Anyway, let's go to let's see it again in Acts 20 now. Remember, this is important to remember. The Christians, the Roman Empire considered the Christians just another Jewish sect. And so for the first few years of the church, they were treated just like the Jews were, with respect from the standpoint of the Roman Empire. Well, then everything turned upside down in AD 64. And that's when the fires just about destroyed Rome, destroyed much of the hill country around Rome. And the Christians thought this was the end. And so they, instead of trying to put the fires out, they were throwing all of their belongings on the fire. And so there's a legal document that exists that shows the charges made against the Christians as a result of that fire in the AD 64. And it said they were accused of hating humanity. And from then on, they were terribly persecuted until Constantine, in varying stages. But Constantine then decreed in AD 325 that the Roman Empire was Christian. So they converted the whole empire. But until that time, when the church was really growing, they were persecuted and accused of hating humanity. It's kind of interesting. All right, Acts 20. Oh, I didn't go there yet. I keep getting... I'm not going to go on any tangents today. What is that? What is that snort about, Sue? She snorted at me. Start in verse... this is... Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders... This is one of the places he's being persecuted. Well, let's just read this. This is important. Start in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day. So the word we're studying is in verse 30, and of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And what are the perverse things they were speaking? We know a lot of it. We know that one of the perverse things they were speaking was that gain is godliness. We know one of the things they were speaking was they taught that the resurrection was past. And yet today, that's the only gospel that's being preached. That he did come and that he will come. So the perverseness, we don't even understand how perverse the gospel is that men are preaching today.
And you better behave because he's coming back.
This ridiculous, demonic teaching about the rapture, which created the whole idea of dispensations, it's destroying the church from God's standpoint. Well, how can you say that, Owen? Well, because I know. Just twist it just a little bit. So you don't live your life as though the next instant is judgment day. Because you got time. Anybody have any response to all of that?
We've talked about is the church was born in Abel.
In what? Oh, in
the
Abel.
Was born.
He was the first member of the church.
And yet at Pentecost, something happened that what clarified, manifest, something
clarified.
At Pentecost that a dispensationalist would say that's different than what happened in Abel.
But it isn't.
Rightly,
then you will preach dispensationalism.
And that's what you'll say, yeah. I mean, they got to get this from somewhere. It's not just pulled out of the butt.
No, it's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
The resurrection is past already.
Yeah.
So now he's got to come again. When he comes this time, he's coming in the clouds as we rise up and the whole universe is destroyed. He's not coming in to put his feet back on the earth. And they're spending billions of dollars to rebuild the temple, creating wars upon wars and murdering millions of people, all for the sake of heresy.
Are they doing any good?
No.
Are they making any progress?
Who? Well, yeah, they're making all they think they are. They've got John Hagee and his ranch that he's raised millions of dollars for to breed a pure red heifer. But instead, he's using the ranch as game preserves where you have hunting. And then they've got all these foundations that have raised billions of dollars to rebuild the temple. They've got all kinds of priests teaching other priests from the Talmud about what the procedures are when the temple is rebuilt.
They have tunneled deep underneath the mount, too. I mean,
for what purpose?
That they, I don't know if it's part of the same purpose.
There's, from their standpoint, there's great progress in it. You read their fundraising letters. It's, it's just comic book. It's so far from the truth. It's the same group that believes in talking snakes and snakes that eat dust. It's the same group that believe that Satan tempted Christ, probably had on a little tail, and it's just goofy. No wonder people are turning from the mystery. Many follow their pernicious ways, and because of them, the way of truth is evil spoken of.
Yeah.
Yet they say we are the ones that are perverting the gospel. All right. This is, I mean, Paul is, from Paul's standpoint, this is his last letter to Ephesus. He's never going to see the Ephesians again. So he's warning them because he sees what's going to happen. Let's go to 2 Timothy real quick to see it again. This is actually his last letter. First, starting 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast learned or heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Philegilus and Hermogenes. And so that's number one place. Then verse 16 of chapter 2. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat that doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So again, we have two more named. Then go to verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, now that's, remember, this is the first time that he appeared before the tribunal, of which Nero was the head of. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I mean, he's warning and warning and warning. Back again in chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So these are his last, in Ephesus, it was the last sayings in person. This is his last letter to the church everywhere. And it's full of the warnings of what we see today. Having a form of godliness, but denying that power because they have to. They teach to lean on your own understanding. They even teach cause and effect in the name of Jesus. That if you give, you'll get back.
Just tying these two together, number seven, ever learning and never able to come to the truth, knowledge of the truth, ties in with number five, having the form of godliness but denying the power.
Amen.
Power is in the cross.
Never dying. All right, I don't have anything else to say. Anybody have any response to any of this besides Gary? Well, I will miss you all. I'll be back a week. Huh? What? Why? You're weird.
I'll see my cartoon for the day.
No. And you're going to teach.
Boy, am I.
All right. Take it, big guy.